Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, happy Friday to you. Happy November 1st, if you can believe that we've made it to November 1st already. I remember when this election seemed like a distant memory, and now it is upon us. And on Tuesday night, we'll know the results of all the state races anyway in Illinois and Missouri. And maybe by Wednesday or Thursday, we'll know what's going on nationally.
I'm not even convinced.
Or, and this will be a little controversial, we might know a little sooner than that. Hold on. Let me listen to RFK here yesterday.
I smell a landslide on Tuesday.
All right. So I don't know how you feel about that. So RFK seems to think there could be a landslide in this election, which would certainly make me feel a lot better on Tuesday night.
Well, I agree. Did you see the slip up by some ABC affiliate where they ran a graphic that said that Kamala Harris was the projected winner? I forget which swing state. Was it Pennsylvania?
Glad you brought that up. Might have been South Carolina or
something. It was Pennsylvania.
Like. Was it PA?
Okay, I thought Pennsylvania, yeah.
So I'm so glad you brought that up because we can read more into that than there is. Kim and I both worked for TV stations for years. Election night is complicated, and you have to make sure that your system is operating before you actually go through it and that you can tabulate, you can enter information, and it's going to go up on the screen. And I'm sure that's all this was. They were putting fake data in there just to show results so they could make sure their graphics were working, and somehow it got pressed up live on the air. Now, that's the odd part of it, because there are safeguards against that happening. But, you know, I mean, we have things that pop up here on occasion that aren't supposed to air. Right, Carl?
All the time.
I'm just saying, it happens. I wouldn't read any more into it than that.
No, I agree that it was just probably a slip up that they were testing it out. But it is kind of funny that the test included Kamala Harris being the projected winner. And how funny would it be? And I don't remember what the percentages were, but how funny and crazy would it be if that was actually the way that it panned out in Pennsylvania?
Well, let's hope not.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's hope not. There's another poll out this morning that shows Trump leading in all of the swing states now. And, what do you do with polling at this point? We don't know how accurate it's going to be. All we can hope is that he's under polling, even in states where it's tied, and he's actually got a several point advantage. I don't know who could pull a lever for her, to be honest with you. A very interesting conversation yesterday between Vivek Ramaswamy and some liberal college student who... It was a black lady who was arguing with him, and I'll let you listen to it here in a minute, who was arguing with him over the fact that she's oppressed. And he told her that she lives in the greatest country in the world. Why would she think that? Hey, did you not listen to our interview with Evelyn last week? I mean, come on. She moved here 16 years ago from a foreign country, not speaking the language, and today she's a homeowner, and she gets angry when people tell her she's oppressed. And she's living the American dream.
All you say is, what rights do I have that you don't have? That's the first question you can ask them.
Vivek handled this beautifully. I'll let you listen to a bit of it here in a minute. We're going to get to Jim Carafano up here in a few minutes. But first, I want to get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
I smell a landslide on Tuesday.
Yeah, there he is. RFK was speaking at a Tucker Carlson event last night when he made those comments. The crowd went crazy. Let's just hope that he's not overly confident.
on a scale of 10 being can't think of anything else and may need some additional medication, I'm like at a 7.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell, if you actually care what she thinks these days, she's not looking too good on that video. But anyway, she's nervous as can be about the outcome of this election because, like the Harris campaign, she knows which way things are trending.
I grew up as a child of the civil rights movement. My parents would take me to marches when I was in a stroller.
Donald Trump said yesterday, Kamala Harris, you wouldn't elect her as dog catcher. Why would you put her in charge of the most powerful economy and military in the entire world?
My opponent has a plan that he wrote himself where he says he wants to eliminate all fossil fuels. That is oil, diesel, gas, and the biofuels that we blend right here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, Josh Hawley was tearing it up last night against Lucas Kuntz in that Fox News debate, just as we assumed that he would. I mean, he owned Lucas Kuntz when he ran into him in that barn at the state fair, and last night he tore him up again. Kuntz won't even mention Kamala Harris's name. He's running from his own presidential candidate in the state of Missouri because he knows Donald Trump's going to win by 20, 25 points in the state of Missouri, probably. And he didn't want anything to do with it. I thought it was a pretty interesting back and forth last night there on the debate stage.
Let me just say this, that at the end of the day, I think it's absolutely vital that we protect our women and children in this state. And that's why I cannot support legislation that would allow sex change operations for minors without parental consent. Now, my opponent has supported it. It's not just recently. He supported it for years. He supported men
that.
And women's locker rooms.
I've never
and
supported
men and women's
that.
Sports. When he ran for the Senate last time, he endorsed both of those measures, and he endorsed the Democrats' national legislation earlier this year
Your
that would have
up,
imposed
Mr.
sex change operations
up,
for minors
Thank
in
you,
Missouri.
Sir. Mr. K-
well, yeah, yeah. Miss Washington over there at Channel 2 trying to silence Josh Hawley. I guess they didn't have the rule where you had to have your mic clipped between segments.
Just the little bell.
Yeah, it was just
Should
a bell.
Should I do that, Mark?
Ding, 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 ding.
I could implement that here.
I know. We probably want to sometimes when I won't shut up. Listen to Vivek Ramaswamy, though, yesterday with this lady he was arguing with. I don't know if it was a town hall or where they were, but Felicia is convinced she can never succeed as a black female attorney in this country because she's so oppressed. Listen.
What other country for an African-American woman is better than the United States of America?
Well, I live in the United States of America, so
exactly.
I only want to talk about the United States
right,
of America.
Right, exactly. So what country, when I talk about whether America is great, I'm not talking about whether America is perfect.
Well, that's why I'm confused, because when was America great for somebody like me? You just told me
I think America's been great. Yeah,
was
so I think
America great? You just told me where somewhere yeah. else that America was great.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, you just told me, basically, that it wasn't great
I think America,
for me.
I think America is the greatest country on planet Earth for you.
How?
That's what I believe.
How?
That's what I believe. Because
How?
This is a country where
because
you can achieve the maximum of your God-given potential by working
woman.
Hard.
I am an African-American woman still facing institutionalized systematic racism.
I don't believe that.
I'm an African-American woman still facing institutionalized racism. Talking to a brown-skinned man named Vivek Ramaswamy, who's, you know, an Indian immigrant to this country, and he's like, nonsense. You can do anything you want. I go back and listen to our interview with Evelyn, the Liberian immigrant last week. If you missed that, first of all, it's an emotional, great interview to listen to. She's passionate about America. She's angry about illegal immigration, and she's really angry when somebody claims they're oppressed. She's like, nobody did anything to me. I'm a free woman. I came here and I worked and I own a home. I own a car. Get out of here with that. If you were born here, you were born with a golden ticket. And this Felicia girl has been raised to believe she can't succeed in America.
Yeah, what Evelyn said was, okay, if you're so oppressed here, why don't you go over to Africa? And she said, I'll give you 1 week. And she doesn't even think that half these people would survive a week there.
It's eye-opening. Go listen to it. It's on the podcast from last week. So when did we air that? What day was that?
Monday.
It was Monday, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Last Monday?
Yes.
Yeah. Please go look that up. Monday of this week. So be sure and look up the interview with Evelyn. All right. Coming up, Jim Carafano. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the fact that we're 3 days out from Election Day. And the White House is altering transcripts to try to cover up what Joe Biden said calling you all garbage. We'll get to all that for you straight ahead.
First of all, you're right. The previous administration made a policy decision to shut down that embassy, the consulate. Excuse me. I'm not going to talk about what our potential response. We're not considering any such step at this time, but we've made quite clear to the government of Israel that we oppose the bill.
Well, but do you regard this as some kind of an infringement on your diplomatic? I mean, where the consulate was, or the building still is in Israel. So it's not in the Palestinian territory.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
We get Jim Carafano with us, of course, foreign security expert there with the Heritage Foundation. Jim, happy Friday.
Happy post-Halloween to you.
Yes, to you as well. That was kind of frightening. That's from the Biden State Department, where they're now trying to reopen a consulate. They want to open a consulate in Gaza, basically in Palestine, for the Palestinians, an American consulate there that Donald Trump shut down.
You know, there's a very famous saying by Albert Einstein: the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And expecting different results. I mean, the Biden administration has, from day one, committed to a strategy of engaging and empowering Iran, and that would mitigate their behavior, and pressing a two-state solution in Israel, which would solve all the Palestinian and Israeli issues, and putting everything else on the back burner until those two things would accomplish, and that would bring peace and stability to the Middle East. The Obama administration tried that for 8 years. It's an absolute disaster. Trump did the opposite, made enormous progress in the region. Biden came back on day one, went back to the Obama policies. It's a complete dumpster fire. And we all know that there's two things that will force here. One is people who just are stupid and really think that somehow this is going to work because they're just doing the opposite of what Trump would do. And the other is people in the U.S. government who are sympathetic to the Islamist cause and their domination of the Middle East and actually don't care about U.S. policy and U.S. interest. They're much more interested in actually implementing policies that are coming from Tehran and Gaza so that's what we are. Completely predictable and understandable statement.
Not only has Trump said that he doesn't believe Hamas would have invaded and attacked Israel if he were president, which I believe him when he says that, he also talks about, you know, he doesn't think Russia would have invaded Ukraine. Well, now you have, what, 8,000 North Korean troops who are right there at Ukraine's border, and we're just kind of, I guess, waiting to see what's going to happen with that?
Well, just to put that in context, that's a week's Russian casualties. So the numbers itself are not really going to change the war as we know it. But this is the interesting thing. What are people thinking? If Trump wins, if Harris wins, what kind of messages are we sending? What do we expect? If Trump wins and we know he's going to do everything we don't like, how do we maximize our influence in the next 2 months before he gets into office to make life very difficult for him? If Harris wins, what can we do to kind of say, look, but you know, so that a lot, I think there's a lot of that going on here, and there's a lot of signaling. And the North Korean thing to me is one of the most interesting. I think Kim's making a huge, massive mistake by doing this.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's no different of what you're saying there than what the Biden administration's been doing administratively, trying to put things in place that would protect bureaucrats in government in case Trump gets elected so he can't go in and eliminate a bunch of government jobs. I mean, it's the same thing. They're trying to do things now to stop that. Listen to what happened yesterday at Kamala's a rally when some pro-Palestinian protesters started chanting in the middle of it. Listen to the word salad she gave them yesterday. Listen.
Let me say something about this. We're here because we're fighting for a democracy. Fighting for a democracy.
Now, that there was a lot of meaning in there. If you understand the difference here moving forward, that we're fighting for a democracy. I just want to interpret that for you.
All right. Let's play a game, you guys and me. This would be a lot of fun. I'm going to say three words, and you tell me the first word that jumps to your mind. And if it's democracy, you're going to get a gold medal. Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. Right? The first word that you think of is democracy. Right?
Not...
That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for democracy.
Autocracy, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. The stakes have never been higher on the world stage. What do you think? European leaders have been relatively silent, but I did hear that there were some members of the Labour Party from England that came to the U.S. specifically to try to campaign for Kamala Harris.
So actually, I'm just back from Europe. I was in two European capitals. Talked to a lot of off the record conversations. I'll just say two things. And you know me, not a Republican, not a Democrat. They all think Trump's going to win, and they all think they have to find a way to work with Trump. And most of them say this is not hard. Actually, many of the things that Trump wants to do are things that we care about as well. We need affordable, reliable, abundant energy. We need to deal with China. We need to deal with the migration issue. We need to stop the war in Ukraine. And we may not say this publicly and cheerlead for him, and we may not talk about things in the same way, but the reality is a conservative American administration actually wants to do a lot of things that Europeans need to do and make the hard choices on.
Right.
And we're just going to have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, they need America's foreign policy to be strong and steady, and they've not seen much of that the last 4 years. So they're probably going to welcome that. Jim, always great to have you on, my friend, and let's keep our fingers crossed for next week.
We'll talk next week, and we'll see how happy we are, right?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Jim, thank you. J.J. Carafano there, the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Love getting him on here, one of our favorite guests of all time. Coming up, we're going to talk to Wes Martin, the pastor over at Grace Church, about why more churches haven't been preaching against Amendment 3. It's coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Okay, so how's everybody's nerves about this election? You know, let's say on a scale of 10 being can't think of anything else and may need some additional medication, I'm like at a 7. I'm at a 7. So that's all right. I can handle a 7.
Very few times in my life I will ever agree with Rosie O'Donnell, but I'm at a 7 right now. Leading into this election day, I want to be optimistic, but I'm nervous to be too optimistic. We have Ashley Hayek on the phone with us right now. She is with America First Works Executive Director and, of course, a political strategist. Ashley, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Where are you on that scale of 10 being I need medication?
Well, I don't care if we're 20 points up. We should always run like we're 30 points behind.
Yes.
Because that's the only strategy to win. And despite the fact that I feel like there's so much momentum on the side of the America First Movement and President Donald Trump, we have got to make sure that we are turning out every single vote. The election in 2020 came down to about 75,000 votes in 4 states. And even though conservatives are performing much, much, much better than in 2020, we just cannot take anything for granted.
We can't. We have evidence of, fortunately, I think it's been corrected, but people being able to vote multiple times. The RNC pointed that one out, and I think that was in Pennsylvania, and they supposedly corrected that. Was that Pennsylvania or Michigan? I can't remember.
Michigan.
And then, of course, in Kentucky yesterday, that video that went viral of somebody pressing the button for Donald Trump on the electronic voting machine, and instead it voted for Kamala Harris. I mean, we have to be nervous when we see things like that.
Well, and we have to also remember that there's going to be a lot of people posting a lot of things on the internet. Some of it is going to be true. I have to say, first of all, what a difference response in 2024 compared to 2020 when it came down to fraud. There was a lot that was happening in 2020, and it felt like no one was responding to it. Whereas now we saw a swift response when people were being refused in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The RNC jumped into action, filed a lawsuit, and now Bucks County, Pennsylvania residents can vote up until 5 p.m. today. They extended the deadline, which is great for us. So it's things like that that we're seeing a very quick response time to by the RNC, Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, that we didn't have before. But again, we have to make sure there's a reason the president said make it too big to rig. We need to make sure that every single one of our voters turns out to make sure that any fraudulent vote doesn't count because there's just too many of us and there are of them.
Yeah. I thought was also encouraging is the Supreme Court judge also said Virginia can continue with its, you know, plan to remove the non-citizens, people who identified as non-citizens. And then you had the Justice Department coming in there and saying, no, you can't do that. You have to put them back on the voter rolls.
Well, and I think even from a communications and campaign strategy, that's a huge win for conservatives as well. You know, this election, we've talked about this for a while, it's about fairness. It's about equal opportunity. And it is not fair for people who are not citizens to be able to vote in our elections. And the fact that our own Department of Justice, they have literally showed their cards. They've called parents domestic terrorists. They have basically championed unfair values. And I think that helps us not just from making sure illegals or non-citizens are voting in our election, but it helps from the point of it justifies every single thing that Donald Trump has been saying for the past 8 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, here we are 3 days out now. I mean, technically voting days, Friday, Monday. I guess a few people will be able to vote Saturday. So Friday, Saturday, Monday, and then, of course, it's the big day on Tuesday. What is your best guess, Ashley, unless this is the landslide that RFK suggested he feels is coming yesterday? I'm with you. You can't get too confident on that. When do you think we'll know the results of this presidential election?
I think we've got to know by Wednesday afternoon, and I feel pretty confident we will, given the numbers that we're seeing in turnout. The other thing we've noticed, just hands down, is the lack of enthusiasm. She has not been able to pull Democrats out, and there's so much divisiveness amongst their own party. People are just not showing up for her. So I think that it should be a decisive victory if we do our part and we all turn out to vote.
Yeah. Tell someone about America First Works. What are you guys doing over there?
So we've actually just passed 5 million door knocks in the 8 battleground states, which were in Ohio there because of Bernie Moreno's race. Even though President Trump will win that handedly. But we've done over 5 million door knocks, 20 million text messages encouraging people to vote. We've done over 250,000 phone calls, over 200,000 handwritten postcards from women to other women in the battleground states, just telling them how important this election is. The door knocking has been absolutely phenomenal. We've received over 670,000 surveys from the American people telling us that they care about, number one, the economy, number two, the border, and three, education. And that's why they're voting America First.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think it's encouraging. I know there are some states that register who's voting and some who don't. Like in Missouri, they know there have been hundreds of thousands of early votes. We just can't tell you if those are Republican or Democrat votes. Some states you can already tell that the Republican turnout is much better, right?
That's exactly right. Michigan is another state that doesn't report party. Georgia, same as Wisconsin. But what we do at America First Works is we'll use consumer data, we'll use surveys to basically identify trends. And based on trends, you know, we're doing phenomenally well in Georgia, which is why Kamala Harris has moved a lot of her ground team out and put them in Wisconsin instead. But in states like Arizona and Nevada, where they do report party affiliation, it is absolutely phenomenal seeing the numbers of turnout that we've had for conservatives.
Yeah, I've watched it. You know, I'm encouraged by it in Missouri specifically. And I don't know if you've looked at what's going on here. We've got this Amendment 3 on the ballot that is the pro-abortion amendment, for lack of a better term. But it goes so much further than that. It, like, redefines reproductive health. We see that wording, and nobody knows quite what it means. But in other states, it strips parents of consent on transgender surgeries. And, I mean, it's far-reaching in terms of what it does. And it changes the definition of medical professionals. I mean, it just goes so far. They're trying to put this in the Constitution, and millions of dollars are flooding in here from out of state that we have no control over. They're running all these glossy ads trying to get people to make abortion upon demand a thing in Missouri again. And a lot of local races might be impacted by that turnout.
Well, here's the deal. The left uses issues like abortion to try and drive out their base because there's such low enthusiasm for their candidates. They knew there would be with Joe Biden. There certainly is with Kamala Harris. However, at the end of the day, if you're a candidate running for office, you have to remember to say, like, that's just not what people are going to decide this election on. I just watched a focus group where the women on there said, yeah, I am, you know, pro-choice. However, I can't feed my kids. I couldn't buy school supplies. You know, we are not in a time where there's a luxury to have all these social issues discussed. And women are really turned off by it. Same with the rhetoric of threat to democracy. When clearly this administration has gone after, you know, school board parents, churches, pro-life dads, et cetera. This is a tactic by the left. They want control over your children. They want control over your life. It's a sick mentality and philosophy. We will come out on the right side of history, and we just have to remember that this is a movement for the American people, and we should have real conversations in the state legislatures about how do we create solutions, how do we create policies that help both the mother and the baby.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Ashley Hayek, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Appreciate that. The real conversation we need to have in the Missouri legislature is initiative petition reform. But I digress, because they blew that last year. We could have, if not avoided this whole mess, made it a much steeper climb, realistically, to have 50% plus one in at least five of the eight congressional districts before you could pass something like that to alter the Missouri Constitution. That makes sure you've truly got support across the state and not just in Springfield and Kansas City and St. Louis.
I think
we didn't do that.
Going into next week on Tuesday, we talk about, are you at a 10 when it comes to just feelings about this election and the outcome? I think that Amendment 3 is what I might be the most nervous about. I'm nervous that people are not going to see through the deception in the wording of the amendment, and they're going to vote yes, because I mean, there are conservatives, people who call themselves conservatives, Mark, who have reached out to me, who have heard me talk about this issue on the show, and they say, oh, well, I wouldn't get an abortion, but I think everybody else should be able to make that decision for themselves. Guys, I'm so tired of hearing that. It's not okay. It's not. No. If you're going to protect life, we need to protect life from conception, because how else can you define it? Fetal viability is so vague. It's subjective. When is fetal viability? You cannot objectively define that.
God knows the answer. What's coming up on Kim on a Whim?
Have you seen how many newspapers are no longer endorsing Kamala Harris? They endorsed Joe Biden in 2020, but now they're saying no. Well, ask yourself the question, why have they been doing this in the first place? Should they be?
It's a great question. We'll get to that coming up. Be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Thousands of Washington Post readers have canceled their subscriptions after the newspaper announced it would not endorse a presidential candidate. The publisher says it's, quote, returning to our roots of not endorsing presidential candidates. Before 1976, the Post did not typically endorse candidates. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that an editorial was already in the works endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris. Critics claim the decision was made over fears of retribution from former President Trump.
Oh, come on. We all know that's not the reason why these newspapers all of a sudden that have been endorsing typically, well, maybe always endorsing Democratic candidates are not wanting to endorse Kamala Harris.
Well, what are you suggesting, Kim?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that Kamala Harris says a lot of word salad and it has never really talked about her actual policies. She just, when she's asked a question about something like her stance on immigration, does she support the border wall? What she typically says is, well, I was raised in a middle class family.
We had walls. That's her kind of word salad common sense. Yeah, I think it's a shame, and they can say what they want. I mean, Donald Trump didn't go after newspaper editors the last time he was president. I mean, he went after the news media in general, calling them fake news. But if they truly perceived him as that much of a threat, it would be in their best interest to try to get and help Kamala Harris in every way they can.
Right.
I mean, they're doing it editorially in other ways, the way they're covering news stories, why not just go ahead and admit it and endorse her again?
And I think it's so interesting that it's not just the Washington Times, which, by the way, has lost some 250,000 subscribers who are mad that they're not going to be endorsing her. But then you think about the LA Times, New York Times, USA Today, a number of local newspapers like the Minnesota Star Tribune, the Des Moines Register, the Tampa Bay Times, all have decided for the first time in decades they're not going to be supporting a candidate. And I don't know if they will moving forward. What will be interesting is if in 4 years they start endorsing again and they make some excuse up about why. I don't think they should have ever been endorsing candidates. That's my problem. Why? What made them want to start doing this in the 1970s?
Maybe it's some sort of radical attempt to revive the newspaper business, right? I mean, look what's going on with the Post. They've got a ghost staff over there. They're very understaffed to begin with. They're bringing in people who are green. They just outsourced all their printing from here in St. Louis because who buys their newspaper anymore? Honestly, when I go to my mom's where she lives now, right, in a senior living, you'll see some people her age sitting in the lobby reading the physical newspaper, but it's got to be a much older crowd right now. Young people aren't reading newspapers.
Yeah, I
saw. If they are, they're reading them online, and they don't make as much money on that.
I actually saw a paper newspaper sitting in someone's driveway in my neighborhood as I was walking, and I felt like I saw a dinosaur. I felt like I needed to take a picture and document it because you don't see that anymore.
Well, they're stopping in January.
Right, but I mean, for months now, years arguably, I just don't see actual newspapers, you know, sitting on people's driveways. I remember as a kid going and picking up the newspaper for my parents. You know, you go get the mail, you go get the newspaper.
I had a newspaper delivery route. I helped with a newspaper delivery route when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. Early teens, still on a bike, right?
The job that's basically obsolete now.
It is. I mean, I know there are people that do it, but they got to be suffering. I mean, they called me up one day and tried to give me 6 months of the Post for a dollar. I mean, how's that covering any expenses? It's been a while, but they're pretty desperate for
maybe a few gumballs for their staff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am bothered that these news outlets, these newspapers sit here and try to pretend like they're objective, and then they push out this garbage and they still try to tell us the same story of we're objective, we tell both sides. Come on, why don't you believe us? And this is coming from someone who used to get very angry when I would cover events, including Trump events, where people would scream at us fake news, and I would tell my own family, I can't believe you're saying fake news. You know, we tell both sides. And it wasn't until 2020 when I started covering all these BLM riots and everything else and the ridiculous COVID pandemic. And I mean, I couldn't even believe it. And it was like once my eyes were open, you can't close them.
I'm sad about it. I'm sad about it in a way. I went to journalism school, not print journalism school, but I hate to see the state of journalism today and the way it's gone. But at the end of the day, they chose this path. That's the problem. Whenever it was in the 60s or 70s or whenever a lot of these major papers got involved in the process of endorsing one side over the other, 99% of the time that side was the progressive left.
Yes.
They've driven themselves into the ground with that. Now, I didn't do it to them. I mean, I'm sad that we don't have that, but the internet has been the death of them. The fact that people have options on where they get their information from now, that competition has driven them into the ground.
Yes. There was a YouGov poll conducted on October 29th asking people if they think these newspapers should be endorsing political candidates. They surveyed about 6,000 people. They found 47% believe newspapers should not be backing a presidential candidate. 28% believe they should, and 25% said they were unsure. But you should not be surprised when I tell you that with that survey, they found that more Democrats than Republicans think that these newspapers should endorse candidates.
Well, yes, of course.
That's shocking.
Well, again, and newspapers have done it for years. Television stations have never done it. There's never been an editorial board at a television station where that would say KSDK editorial board endorses Tashara Jones for mayor. They've always steered clear of that. Now, that doesn't mean there hasn't been bias in their coverage,
right?
But they weren't overt about it. And the newspapers have been overt about it, and people have started to see that there's no line between what's going on in the editorial pages, where all the managers work, and what's going on the front page of the newspaper.
Bingo.
It's killed the industry. It has killed that industry, and it's sad. America needs strong journalism, and we don't have it anymore. Coming up, we're going to talk to Wes Martin, a local pastor, about the role churches have tried to play, some of them, in this Amendment 3 abortion debate. And we'll talk about the county council race as well. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.